Right. Mr. Rob Raines joins us now, the best person to follow on Twitter for Cardinal baseball information, just Cardinal reporting in general. Rob, good to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Frank. How are you this morning?
Very good. All right, much to discuss. Give me, I know you probably don't want to do this, but I'm asking for a grade of the Cardinals' trade deadline moves, factoring in everything, what they had to give up. Would you give it a B minus, or what do you think?
I would say a solid B, maybe. Yeah, you never know how these guys are going to pitch in a new scenario, but I think you got two guys that, one, you know, Quintana, we kind of had an idea would be traded and was somebody the Cardinals would have an interest in. Montgomery kind of came out of left field because he's been a starter in the Yankees rotation all year, and you just didn't see them moving a guy like that. But I guess they just felt like they needed another outfielder, and Bader, you know, being a hometown kid, made sense for them. So, you know, I think that one kind of surprised us a little bit more than the Quintana deal. But, you know, two left-handed starters that have had been durable, you know, combined and made 41 starts for so far this season for their two clubs, both have ERAs in the three. So, John Mozeliak said last night, if they can keep doing what they've been doing, that's good enough for them. So we'll see. Quintana's going to start tomorrow. Montgomery will start sometime this weekend against the Yankees. So we'll get an early read on what they got.
Yeah, well, did the Cardinals give up more than Bader for Montgomery? Because there were kind of conflicting reports. Is it a possibility of a player to be named later in cash?
Yeah, it seemed like it's going to be attached to the health of Bader. You know, if he comes back before the end of the season, I think it's a straight one-for-one. I think there's a possibility of them adding a player to be named later if Bader isn't able to play by the end of the season. So, but I don't think that'll be I doubt that'll be a player off the major league roster. I would think that would be a minor league guy would be my guess.
His health is not good. He has not recovered from that plantar fasciitis, has he?
No. I mean, he's supposedly wearing a boot. I was told yesterday he was already actually in New York. He was going home to rest because there wasn't really anything he was supposed to be able to do for at least a week while he had his foot in that boot just to rest. So, yeah, those kind of things can linger, you know. I mean, that's a shame that he's had to go through that. It's a very painful injury. Anybody who's ever gone through it knows that. And when your feet are so important to the game, you know, running and especially playing defense and stuff, that it affects him maybe more so than it would some other players who you know, don't rely on that aspect of their, you know, health for their success as much as somebody like Bader does. So hopefully, you know, the rest will work and he'll get some treatment for it and be ready to go, you know, soon. He won't obviously play this weekend when the Yankees are in town, which would have been kind of different. But, you know, we'll see Matt Carpenter anyway. But yeah, so good luck to, you know, Harrison in New York. I know he has to be happy. I haven't talked to him, but I know he has to be happy about if he's going to get traded that he gets to go home. Back to the Bronx where he grew up.
So could you picture him playing some center field on a semi-regular basis with the Yankees?
Oh, I would think so. I would think they wouldn't have made the trade of trading a regular member of the rotation if they didn't expect that he's going to play there. You know, I know they traded for Benintendi too, but I think, you know, especially on that club, you know, it's kind of a perfect fit for Bader because he can just do, you know, probably bat ninth and not have to really worry about offense. I mean, he'll chip in some hits and some stolen bases, but you know, when they've got the offensive firepower they've got on that club, you know, it takes some of the pressure off him to just go out there and do what he does best, which is, you know, get on base, play base, you know, steal bases and play gold glove caliber defense.
Tell our listening audience, particularly the females, why the Cardinals are better moving forward with Dylan Carlson.
Well, he doesn't have the hair that Bader has, but no, I think, you know, Bader was a popular player. I mean, that was kind of a part of the reason it's kind of such a surprise is he is such a fan favorite player. I know people in my own family were upset by the trade. My one grandson, Bader was his favorite player, you know, so I'm trying to tell him, you know, I try to tell him that, you know, why he got traded, and, you know, it was a tough kind of conversation, and my wife even was upset about it. So, you know, but Carlson's younger. Obviously makes less money. I think he's more than held his own in center field, you know, since he's taken over there when Bader's, you know, been hurt, took advantage of the opportunity. And I think, you know, they obviously, you know, we heard a lot of talk about, you know, Carlson's name coming up in the conversations about different other trades over the weekend. And Mo took time to address that yesterday as well. But so I think there's, you know, Dylan has a better chance to be a better offensive player than Bader. And I think has a chance to be, you know, not maybe quite as flashy defensively, but he's going to be a more than capable and above average center fielder.
Yeah, plus he's got a better arm, he's going to get on base more, and he's going to slug more, right?
Yes.
All right.
And he's 5 years younger.
Yep. Okay, so what about Jordan Montgomery? I like the fact that he signed for another year. I like the fact that the New York Yankees started him 21 times this year. I don't like the fact in his last two outings, it's 9 innings and 9 runs. What do you know about him?
Not a whole lot, honestly. I don't remember seeing him pitch other than maybe glimpses of him here or there. So I'm curious to get my eyes on him when he gets here and see what, you know, get my own personal opinion. But I think you look at the numbers, they're solid. I think, you know, we talked before about left-handed pitchers having an advantage in this ballpark because it is tough for right-handed hitters. In most cases, the left-handed hitters seem like have a little bit of an advantage. So I think that getting a left-handed hit pitcher in here is going to be a plus for this, for the team. Getting two of them in the rotation is something they really don't usually do or usually have available to them. So I think that's a plus. I think, you know, anybody pitcher that comes in here who can throw strikes and, you know, has some swing and miss stuff, you know, which the Cardinals did not have a lot of in their rotation is a plus. If he can get ground balls, which is also a plus, then obviously you think this defense is going to help him. I think it's going to help Quintana a lot. The defense here is going to be more, you know, obviously better than the Pirates defense was. So I think all of those factors add up to pluses for both guys, not just Montgomery.
I left a little bit earlier yesterday, so I didn't hear Mo and Ali. Had they made a decision on whether it's going to be Pallante or Hudson remaining in the rotation? And if they haven't, your gut feel?
They did not address that. That said, that's something that will come up. And Mo said he hadn't even talked to Ali about that, which, you know, take that for as far as whether they did or didn't. Maybe they talked about it before the trade, but probably didn't have a time to talk about it after the trade was made so close to game time yesterday. But I think my guess is it will be Pallante who will move to the bullpen for two reasons. One is he has had success out there earlier this season. And two, I know he still has probably about another 30 or 40 innings that he could get to before matching what he pitched a year ago when you combine the whole minor league season and with the innings that he pitched in the Arizona Fall League. But they're conscious of that. They're aware of the innings situation. So I think, you know, having him available to give you a couple, three innings in different, you know, two or three nights a week in the bullpen might be a little bit of an advantage over, and Hutchinson could do it too. So, yeah, so no, but to my knowledge, they haven't made that decision. At least they haven't made it public yet. But if I had.
Yeah, your logic makes perfect. Oh, excuse me. Your logic makes perfect sense. It would be difficult from a guy coming off that magnificent outing and throwing in the mid-90s late in the game to not be a starter, but what you said makes perfect sense. All right, let's get to the lefty from Pittsburgh, Jose Quintana. And I know a lot of people were not real excited about the move because he plays for the Pirates and hasn't been, like, dominating. But, boy, this is the best season he's had maybe since his All-Star season 2016. 3.5 ERA, innings eater. There's a lot to like about him.
Yeah, and as I say, he was one of the guys that I think you kind of realized when the Cardinals were going to go down the pitching route, you know, that was their biggest need, that he was a name that fit because, in fact, he's a free agent at the end of the year, so it doesn't really cost you much, and they gave up. You know, I think a guy that has a chance to be a pretty good pitcher in the big leagues in Oviedo, but, you know, just really wasn't finding a spot here where he could be, you know, a consistent performer. Just because of the numbers more than anything else. And then you also give up a kid that's a pretty good prospect in a 21-year-old first baseman, Malcolm Nunez, who's going to hit, I think, and probably will play in the big leagues. But, again, he's kind of blocked in the organization here. He could have got the AAA next year, but then, you know, you didn't really see a path forward for him with all the other guys that the, you know, Cardinals have coming either in the major leagues already or, you know, coming up through the system. So, and I think he also was a Rule 5 candidate this year, so he would have had to been go on the 40-man roster this winter or could have been claiming the draft. So for all those reasons, it kind of was a reasonable trade. I think it was ranked as like the 10th or 11th best prospect in the system. But yeah, I think Quintana's going to be a guy that, as I mentioned before, I think like Montgomery, he's going to come over here and if he can throw strikes and keep the ball on the ground, he has a chance to be pretty effective pitcher here.
Problem is, too, the Phillies had a very nice trade deadline day and Milwaukee has made some moves and they're two games ahead of the Cardinals. If you had to lay a milkshake down, which of the three teams finishes with the best regular season record? Gut feel.
I still like the Cardinals. I do. I mean, I think especially the two pitchers I think are going to help. I think the offense is good enough. I think, you know, you're going to get, you know, these guys get into a pennant race. They know what they did last September. I don't know that we're going to see another 17-game winning streak, but I think, you know, they've got a lot of head-to-head games left against Milwaukee. I think the fact that even though there's some good guys in Milwaukee's bullpen, and I like their trade for Rosenthal, which surprised me since the Giants just signed him and they hadn't even pitched for them yet. But I think getting Hader out of Milwaukee bullpen was something the Cardinals certainly paid attention to and noticed and were surprised by that. So, yeah, I think, you know, the Phillies, you know, they don't know when they're going to get Harper back or how he's going to play when he comes back. And they haven't had, you know, a lot of success over the last couple of years. I think going through what the Cardinals went through September last year is really going to give them a boost when they get into September this year, knowing that they can have that kind of run in them and what it takes to win the division down the stretch.
Okay, so Mo did admit yesterday they weren't one of the final two teams. It was the Dodgers and Padres at the end. But, Rob, what, in your mind, what do you think the package they actually did offer? Gut feel. I know you don't know 100%, but what do you think?
I don't think Carlson was in it. I don't think Walker was in it. So I think it was Gorman and some other minor league guys, maybe another guy off the big league roster, maybe a pitcher. But I don't think it was – like Mo said, it wasn't obviously enough to – you know, but what the Padres offered was a lot more, and that's why the Nationals took the deal.
So maybe a Gorman, Wynn, Libitor, and somebody else.
Something in that great would not surprise me. But I don't really know. But my gut feel tells me that Walker and Carlson were. We know Carlson was not in the deal because that was Mo made that obvious. That he said he talked to Dylan in Washington, told him he wasn't going to get traded. So, and I don't think Walker's name was in the deal either.
I asked this to Andy Van Slyke. Rank the three middle infielders who you'd like to have the most over the next 3 years. Gorman, ooh, Paul DeJong, and Tommy Edman. Rank them. Next 3 years.
Well, Gorman's one.
Everybody says that.
Because of age and the home run potential. I mean, he's going to have swings and misses. He's going to strike out. But, you know, that's just the way the game is played these days. DeJong Edman is a toss-up in my mind. I mean, I like both of them. I wish I knew which Paul DeJong you were going to have for the next 3 years. You know, is he going to be the guy that can hit 25 to 30 home runs, or is he going to be the guy that struggled, you know, the last 2 years? So I would say from consistency standpoint, I would put Edman 2 and DeJong 3 just because you just don't know about – and again, age plays into that too, Edman being a couple years younger than DeJong.
Yeah, I know you're a hardened baseball scribe and covering the game for probably over four decades. Did you get really upset, or not upset, but gosh, weren't you pulling for that Paul DeJong fly ball to just go an extra inch over Hap's glove? That would have been so cool.
Yeah, I was happy to see those two home runs the first two games back in Washington. That gave him a good boost, I think. And makes that one a little bit easier to swallow that it wasn't a home run yesterday because he did have the first two games in New York. But yeah, he's, you know, you root for a guy like that. He tried hard. I mean, I give him a lot of credit for going down and playing as long as he did in Memphis and not complaining. You know, I saw him that first week he was down there and he said all the right things and talks about he was just there to find himself. And it took a while, but I think he did it. And I think, you know, whatever his future is now, at least, you know, he's kind of found himself that he can't have success again. And I think he feels better about his own performance and his confidence level. And that's what you need. You know, you can't have any self-doubts in this game. You have to be able to know that you're a good player, to know that you can have success and to be able to, you know, brush off those slumps and just bounce right back out and forget what happened yesterday and see what happens today, because it's certainly you're certainly going to get more opportunities that way. And you're certainly going to have, you know, challenges ahead of you. But I think he's in the right frame of mind mentally and looks like physically to be able to have success.
Great stuff, Rob. We'll talk soon. Thanks so much for your time, sir.
Okay, Frank. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Great work by Rob Raines. Unbelievable follow on Twitter.